is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I think all options have to be on the table when it comes to the Byward Market. The Byward Market is so special. It really is the heart and soul. This is where the city was essentially founded. It's not a secret that the Byward Market has sort of held a lot of the responsibility regarding the housing and opioid crisis. They've really sort of held the fort for many, many years. And now the Byward Market is saying, hey, we want to develop, we want to have our full potential, and we want to be that tourist attraction that you were just talking about.
That was City Councillor Stephanie Plant, who represents Rideau Vanier, speaking with me about a proposed new tax to support the Byward Market. Councillor Plant was on the show May the 26th. We have steadily every week been seeing a bunch of different ideas about how to revitalize the Byward Market, what to do. And we will have the Ottawa Board of Trade joining us on the show. They released their five-pillar plan with concrete steps of what they believe needs to be done. Remember, years ago, when you would come down to the Byward Market and you would see all of the stalls, all of the vegetables and the flowers and the local farmers that were there, things have changed very much. And you come down to the Byward Market, it feels very much like a different place. And I was reading this piece by Bruce Dietschman in the Ottawa Citizen, where he was kind of feeling a bit of nostalgia for all those years of the different stalls and customers as well. You don't see as many people, I think, that live in the city, Danny, that live downtown.
No.
Frequenting the Byward Market. Maybe to go out at night, to go for a drink, to sit on a patio. But on a weekend morning, the brunch crew, often they would go out and they would go to the stalls and pick up a little something to make dinner.
When I lived downtown, that's what we did. We used to get our fruits and veggies there. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. And we noticed that the other day. We're like, where are they?
Where is everybody?
Yeah.
A lot of the farmers have left. In fact, most of them. And it's a question of whether or not they're going to come back and what it's going to look like in a few years. The market has historically been this gateway for tourists. Is it going to be that by the time that it celebrates its 200th anniversary? Joining us right now, Gary Rochon of Rochon Gardens. Him and his son, they were the last area farmers with stalls in the Byward Market and the second last produce vendors. Hello, thank you so much for coming on, Gary.
Thank you.
Great to get you on the show. Why did this happen? Why do you think there's been this shift in the Byward Market where all the farmers like you have left?
Well, basically, it goes back to years ago where buying and reselling was just left to be anybody could buy anything and sell anything. And the farmers just said, okay, enough's enough. We can't compete with China. We can't compete with Chile. We can't compete with Mexico. It's a very complicated story. But the thing is that we used to be able to make a good living down there. And when we left, there was nothing to be made. So we just kind of packed it in and we went elsewhere.
You mean you can't compete with those prices when you're listing off those other countries?
Well, the thing is that, for example, I start my watermelons in like around the 10th of August. Well, they've had them on the market since the 10th of July from Georgia. So they get the premium price. They get the big dollars for the watermelons that come from Georgia because there's no other melons around. So I come in with my melons and I've got to sell them like $3, $4. at $1,000 for 1,000 seeds, a dollar a seed, I can't afford to, you know, sell them for $4 or $5. If I get the high price at the beginning, then I can lower my price afterwards. But yeah, that's basically the problem with buying and reselling. They've always got the primary product up ahead of everybody else.
The farmers market was always a feature of the Byward Market. And with everybody gone, it feels a little bit different. What do you think of the way that the market has changed?
I think it's sad, very sad. And don't tell me there's no farmers around because we have five or six, like in the paper 22, but I think there's six or seven really good markets out there that are comparable to what Byward was, but only a one-day-a-week market. I think the seven-day-a-week market is gone, is a thing of the past. You won't ever see that come back to Ottawa. Maybe two, 3 days Don't forget, not that long ago, 50, 60 years ago, Byward used to be a three-day market. It used to be, it was Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And then it came a five-day market, and then a six-day market, a seven-day market. Byward has never been always a seven-day market, seven-day-a-week market. So we have to build, maybe we have to go back to our roots. And the other thing is, it's nice to have all these ideas about let's put more trees and we'll put more park benches and we'll put more patios out there. What do you really want for the market? You just said it in your opening remarks. It was nice when we went down there and we saw the farmers and the flowers and all the guys selling their produce. You want produce vendors back? Let's stop talking about putting up trees and putting up benches. Let's start, how do we get the farmers back? What do they really want?
Well, let me ask you that. What would get you back? What would bring you and your son back?
Would have to be a completely a farmer's market, no reselling whatsoever, like Lansdowne and Barrhaven and Westboro. There is no buying and selling there. If you're caught, you're thrown out of the market. And they're very strict on that. And I do believe a lot of farmers would come out of the woodwork and join the Byward if the city kind of went for it. But it doesn't seem, it seems to be their prime interest or their prime priority is being a tourist attraction. That seems to be the big thing. They want tourists out there to make a look, oh, it's beautiful, look at, but we're not there. If they want us to be there to be like an idol or a showpiece, pay me. I'll go. Pay me. I'll just sit there and I'll make up a booth and look good. But if I go there and I don't make any money,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It's like everybody else. You go to work. If you don't make any money, what do? You change jobs.
Right.
You know? And
it just wasn't happening anymore, eh?
It just was not happening anymore.
Well, I do appreciate your voice in this. Do you feel that the farmers, just in closing, Jerry, that the farmers have had a seat at the table when we speak about the future of the market and where we want to take it?
We've been at a few, very few of them.
Right.
But like the last one Tuesday, not a soul heard about it. No farmer that I know of heard that there was going to be a meeting to revitalize the Byward market. But then we hear, oh, we're going to put more park benches and trees. Okay. So it looks like farmers are not really part of the picture at this time anyway. And that's what they want. They want the farmers down there, but they don't want to do anything to bring the farmers down. A park bench and a tree is not going to bring me down to the Byward market. I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate your voice today on the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Jerry Rochon of Rochon Gardens and him and his son have been talking about the future of the Byward market because they used to sell down here. They used to be down here. And now they're not. They were the last ones to close up shop. They were the final farmers with stalls in the market and the second last produce vendors. This is something that their family did a long time. In fact, his parents and grandparents ran stalls in the Byward market. And he last sold here in 2020. His son last sold in 2021. 3:18 on the show. Great to hear from so many of you on the text board today. We'll take a short break.
Welcome back to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back. Cooler out there today, 18 degrees. We're going to talk about the CARB Fair, not the Fall Fair. That doesn't take place until September, but their event that is coming up on June the 17th. They've got their truck and tractor pull on that Saturday. And Ryan Foley's on the line right now, the co-president of the CARB Fair. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, how are you doing today, Christy?
Good, how are you?
Oh, it's a beautiful day in CARB, that's for sure.
So this is the warm-up to the Fall Fair, right? Kind of?
Yeah, so this is one of our events, one of our first events that we have out throughout the year. It's kind of our kickoff. It's something to get everybody out. You know, the farmers are getting off the fields, and they can come out and enjoy a day themselves to come out for a little bit of friendly competition.
So tell us, what is exactly going on? What's the spectacle? What does it look like to be there?
Well, so what a tractor pull is, they started out many, many years ago, and, you know, one farmer had a tractor, and he thought his tractor was better than the neighbor's. So what they did is they hooked onto a weighted sled, and they seen who could pull it the furthest. And it just kind of has evolved since that. And we still do have the tractors, the classes for, you know, the tractors that you see out in the field, but it's evolved quite a bit into mostly modified vehicles now that are designed specifically for pulling.
So from some good old-fashioned competition to now quite the spectacle. How big are these vehicles?
So we do have some vehicles coming this year that are going to be upwards of, you know, your standard vehicle on the road is 300-400 horsepower for a pickup truck. We're going to have some pickup trucks here this year that are in the 12 to 1500 horsepower range. So they're very loud. They put on a great show. And we look forward to all those competitors coming out again this year.
Where can people get tickets?
So tickets are available at the gate at 3629 Carp Road, the day of the event. So just load up your car, come on out to the event. The weather is looking really, really great for us right now. So we're hoping that that weather holds. And just come out and enjoy the event. There's going to be lots of things there as well. You mentioned the fair before, and, you know, I know one of my favorite things about the fair and a lot of other people's favorite things is the fair food.
Yes.
We do have some vendors coming out this year that are going to be on site. We have Nikki T's, Smokebox Catering, and Fritz's BBQ Smokehouse. So it's been a long time since the last fair season, and this is a nice little kickoff, too. You can come get some of that delicious fair food.
Oh, I missed lunch today. Now you're really getting me going here, Ryan. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Best of luck.
All right, thank you very much.
Ryan Foley, who's the co-president of the Carp Fair Truck and Tractor Pull. You have to wait until the fall for the fall fair, but not for the tractor pull and that whole event. That is next Saturday, June the 17th. Can you believe it? That'll be mid-June already. Oh, the summer is upon us. 3:28. We'll take a short break on the other side. We've got Dr. Christopher Labos. We'll talk about this increasing trend of invasive group A strep. When's the last time you had strep throat? I used to have that all the time growing up. It's been years.
But it's strep B we usually had, right?
This is strep A.
Yeah.
Hospitals have been told to be on the watch out for this. CTV Toronto obtained that memo. We'll talk about that. And speaking about medicine, have you seen these TikToks with people claiming that they found the natural version of Ozempic, the diabetes drug that makes you lose weight? People have been using it off-label to shed a few pounds. Now these TikTokers are saying, don't worry about getting a prescription. Just go to the pharmacy and get this supplement. Is there any truth in that? Dr. Mitch Shulman will join us. That's all coming up.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Be the 3:37. The Ottawa Board of Trade has unveiled a roadmap to transformation for downtown Ottawa and is calling on all three levels of government to declare downtown Ottawa their top priority. Su-Ling Ching joins us now, head of the Ottawa Board of Trade. Hello, welcome back.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very well.
You and I are no stranger to each other. We've talked about this countless times on our show, and now your Board of Trade has pumped out this five-pillar action plan. Mm-hmm. So break it down for me. We know this is a huge priority for the Board of Trade. We've heard from business owners. I hear from everyday people. What does the Board of Trade want these three levels of government to do?
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Christy, for reaching out. And yes, you and I have spoken for 3 years about what we think the impact of the public service not being in the downtown and the countermeasures of the pandemic would do to the future of our downtown. You know, and for the longest time, we felt as though we were all just going to return to normal. But a year and a half ago, we started thinking about seeing the emerging trends, started reaching out to subject matter experts, convening tables around how we could revitalize the downtown, including the work that we had done with MP NACFI's Revitalization Committee, and participating in these various tables. And what we were feeling is that was that there was a disconnect between some of the things that were going on and lots of great work going on, the nighttime strategy, the Byward Market, the tourism destination plan, all of these great things going on. But a couple of things, that there was a need for some calibrating of these strategies, a need to let the community know that it is on the minds of business and elected officials and economic stakeholders that something has to be done and urgently. And we just were feeling like we were at a tipping point where we see a lot of issues in the downtown, continued stress on the businesses in the downtown, and a lot of people talking about things that are going to happen when we hear announcements like we did from the federal government last week. So we wanted to let the community know that we are working on it. And we also really wanted to call on every level of government to work together and to say this is a priority and we are going to support it.
The five-pillar action plan calls for 1, affordable, walkable, amenity-rich communities. Let's start there. What do you mean by that, amenity-rich communities?
Well, what we are saying, and I just want to be clear with you, like these are the areas that we've identified that we are going to continue to build out over the coming months. And our intention is then to come back to the community in the fall to say these are the specific things that we are recommending. But in general terms, what we know is that even pre-pandemic, we're kind of like, what do you call that? Like a one horse pony show or something, you know, in our downtown area. And the concentration of our workforce in the downtown, 25% of our entire workforce was in that downtown. And over 50% of it was with the public service. And so when the work from anywhere or the remote work, you know, trend was hanging on, that really puts us at risk and makes us less resilient than if we had people living there, working there, visiting, and having it be more diverse. So what we are looking for is how can we bring more people into the core living there, and how can we make it so that they have the amenities that they need in easy reach.
The other thing you say here, flexible, efficient government regulation and approvals. Can you elaborate on that?
Right. So we, throughout these consultations, I mean, we consistently are hearing that there are opportunities for the government to help with advancing private sector projects by being, you know, timely, offering good service, you know, throughout the budget consultations. We asked every level of government to prioritize creating a predictable business environment, being open for business, making it easy for people to do business in Ottawa and, in this case, Ontario and Canada. So just making it really easy for the private sector and supporting them.
You also say support growth of private and public sector employment. Are we looking to attract an anchor tenant, something like a Shopify that we used to have on Elgin Street?
And so our downtown, you know, is fairly diverse in the business community, but it's a lot of professional services, a lot of those kinds of businesses where it is easier, right, to work from not in the office. And so, you know, is there an opportunity for us to attract or incentivize different kinds of businesses into those spaces that we're going to be having?
You also say ensure safety and security for the people down here, whether they're working here, they operate a business, they live here, or they're visiting. That is the number one thing, Sue Lynn, that I hear about every day.
I know
people just say, I don't feel comfortable down there. And even some of my colleagues have had experiences. I've had experiences down here that are very unpleasant.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I could just tell you all my experiences. I can't tell you how to fix it. How do we set about repairing the lack of trust and confidence that people have in their safety down here?
Well, and And I appreciate you sharing those stories. And, you know, this morning I quoted Mary Rowe from the Canadian Urban Institute. And she said, you know, throughout the pandemic, the challenges that we were facing throughout the pandemic were most acutely manifesting in our downtown cores. And so that's certainly what we have experienced in Ottawa. And it's a combination of not just, you know, policy making or economic development. It's a question of bringing into the fold strategies to address homelessness and mental health and all of those things that we need to do to support the most vulnerable populations. So that needs to be done in concert with these other things, for sure.
Do you think having more of a police presence or having this promised satellite police operation here would make any difference?
So I really am not able to comment on what the exact solution is. I think it's like everything else. I think it's multifaceted for sure. Because as you know, like the police enforcement is not always the answer, but it's definitely has to be done in partnership with people who are well qualified to help these most vulnerable.
So you've presented this now. At the same time, the federal government has unveiled plans to get rid of 10 buildings in Ottawa and Gatineau, which you and I have talked about. So they're actually looking to reduce their office footprint and to shift to hybrid model. Where do you want to take this conversation next? What are you tangibly looking for?
See, the thing is that if they're changing their workforce model, you know, that's totally within their prerogative. They're trying to modernize their workforce. We understand all of that. But it's been done extremely abruptly and not, you know, not through any fault of their own, through the pandemic, et cetera. But it has been done abruptly and we need to acknowledge that. And, you know, one of my volunteers had said to us, you know, if a private sector employer who had this kind of footprint in our city, an anchor employer, and pulled out overnight, we'd have something to say about it. And we would expect, you know, for us to be given notice, to have a plan, and quite frankly, to have some transition support. And so what we want, as we spoke about last week, Chrissy, is that we just want really clarity and transparency from the federal government. We want those buildings to be redeployed in a better use if they're not going to use them. We certainly don't want them sitting empty. But we just need greater details around what that means and specifically what it means for Ottawa, so that city leaders and the private sector can start planning and thinking about how we can redeploy those assets. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that we want support either through funding and or programming to help transition our downtown into its next form.
Su Ling Ching, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Su Ling Ching is the head of the Ottawa Board of Trade, and we'll get to all of your thoughts and opinions on that. A few that I'll just quickly pick out here. Texter here. If I'm to go to the market for produce or flowers, guess what I need, Christy? I need my car to bring everything home. I'm not taking all of my bundles of large flower pots and food on transit. Stop taking away the places to park. I will say I drove in today and I found the parking spots to be plentiful over on Dalhousie.
Okay, yeah.
Or is it... It's the parking garage that's near Clarence, excuse me.
Okay.
Clarence.
But there's some days it's really hard to find a spot.
On a hot, sunny Friday, when the patios are full, it's hard to find a spot.
It is.
Today was the exception to that because it's not that warm. Allegedly, it's 19 degrees. I say allegedly because it wasn't that warm when I came in.
No, but it is. When I went outside, it's a little
Danny
warm.
Went for a lunch walk.
I did. I was hangry.
It's warmed up now?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so it's turning into a pleasant afternoon.
Yeah.
And with that, we conclude this edition of Ottawa Now, 2 hours early. Danny signs off on this.
Outdoor beer.
Thank you.
Yeah. And with that, I launch our informal, not sponsored by management, summer competition, Who Can Find Christy Cameron on a Patio? We'll be right back.
On the go, take News Talk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron.
Maybe this will refresh your memory.
We were on the break!
I'll have what she's having.
Flashback Friday on News Talk 580 CFRA.
It is Flashback Friday on the show. The latest installment of Transformers is coming out, making it the seventh movie now. Seven movies, Danny, in that franchise.
Know.
And
insane.
Then we have this movie that's coming out in July.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Ugh.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
I thought I might stay over tonight.
Why?
Because we're girlfriend boyfriend.
To do what?
I'm actually not sure.
I love that.
Barbie movie. I don't know too much about it, but it stars Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, and it's been everywhere. They have been advertising this for months. It's to the point where I actually said the other day, it's got to be in theaters now, right?
No.
I've never seen such a heavy advertising budget. By everything that I can see, I think it is going to be the summer film of 2023. Whether or not it's going to be good remains to be seen.
I think it's going to be good. You have Greta Gerwig, who's known for making some pretty decent films, pretty great films, and she's just made it more geared towards millennials and Gen Xers and our type of humor. And so I think that's, instead of having another kids Barbie movie, it's a Barbie movie for the adults.
The movie's tagline, as listed on IMDb, to live in a Barbie land is to be a perfect being in a perfect place, unless you have a full-on existential crisis or you're a Ken. The tagline from the poster, she's everything, he's just Ken. Will Ferrell was commenting on the movie, and he said that it's quite funny. It's satirical, obviously.
He's in it.
Yeah. And he said, when I read the script, I thought, boy, this is fantastic. So that's high praise from Will Ferrell, who I find to be very funny. That would be, he'd be my dream husband.
Well,
aside from Drake, who is eventually going to be my real husband.
Yeah, there you go.
Who's my dream husband?
Don't you have one in the works?
Sorry, honey. I mean, dream celebrity husband. I missed a word in that very important sentence. Yeah. Everything's good.
Mine's Jason
Everything's
Momoa.
Good in Christyland.
Anyways. No, but... You have Ryan Gosling coming back into comedy, and that's something, right? Because he's known for his very dramatic roles.
This is true.
Except for the time when he started his career on Breaker High.
And I loved that show.
You didn't.
If I could go back in time, or if I could find a streaming service that had that, I would watch it.
I did watch it. It's terrible.
It's awful.
It's absolutely
Do you remember
horrible.
Student Bodies?
Yes, I do.
I loved Student Bodies.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with the main character. I had a crush on the main character.
Who did? Yeah, I did.
Cody?
Cody, yeah.
I still remember the name. Uh-huh. How is that?
Because he's in your heart, Christy.
Don't remember what I ate for breakfast this morning, but I remember the name of the main character on the show, Student Bodies.
He just had cute hair and boyish smile.
He did. In honor of Transformers and the Barbie movie, for Flashback Friday, we're asking you, what are some of the best or worst movies based off of non-humans, as in toys, or maybe even animals, if we want to extend
it. Okay, yeah, let's throw that in there.
The Lego Movie.
Morning apartment, ready to start the day.
Jumping jacks, hit them. One, two, three.
I am so pumped up! Yes, overpriced coffee.
That's $37.
Awesome!
Everything is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this
Everything
song.
Is cool.
It seems sort of silly, yet kid-appropriate, but also entertaining for adults. I never saw it.
I did see it, and I remember at the time when I watched it, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my favorite. It's not in my top movies, but it was a good watch.
I also haven't seen this one.
Poppy, we're going to be late to the royal wedding. Let's go get married.
France.
What? I mean, let's get Bridget and Crystal married.
Yeah. Oh, because it would be weird if we got married.
Yeah.
Wow.
So weird.
Blech. Oh, boy. That was a crazy bachelor party. Cloud Guy don't feel so good.
Tiny Diamond, you make the cutest little flower boy.
Come on, Daddy. I'm the cutest little flower man.
I thought it looked tedious and for children, but people told me it was well thought out and a lot of fun.
People really love this. I remember people talking
and
about
original.
It. And original. Yeah. Well, that's it. And it's very colorful, too, right?
I did see this one.
A stranger from the outside.
Greetings.
I am Buzz Lightyear. I come in peace. This is an intergalactic emergency. I need to commandeer your vessel to Sector 12. Who's in charge here?
And then there's this. Star Wars.
He told me you killed him. No. I am your father.
Search your feelings, you know it to be true.
Can I just put in my vote? And I know that one spawned a lot of memorabilia and a lot of fans. Can I just say, a story that's not about humans, you know my vote's going to be for Beethoven. I still haven't watched the rest of the Beethoven movies. Anybody who's newer to the show or wasn't tuned in that day, so as an adult woman, I watched Beethoven, the movie about the dog, and I cried. And I remember admitting that on air, that Confession Thursday, and somebody texted in, Christy, it's time to get some therapy. This is your moment when you're crying over Beethoven,
we
the dog movie.
We know she needs therapy.
Go get therapy. Hey, there's nothing wrong with therapy.
Did you see Beethoven 2? The second one is my favorite.
But I couldn't bring myself to go beyond that.
No.
Then they changed. Obviously, the dog, unfortunately, the dog is a new dog.
Yeah.
We'll not talk about why. Dogs don't live as long. But then they changed the family, too.
Yeah.
So it's not even the original family. And I love the father in that movie.
I did want to explain why I chose Star Wars. I know Star Wars wasn't based on toys, but it did spawn a lot of collector's items, toys, memorabilia. So that's why I chose that one. I kind of blanked and I was like, wait, Star Wars kind of, and everywhere you go, you see a lightsaber,
right? It's true.
So
now you just told me off air that you worked with the Canadian actor Ross Hull.
I did.
Who was on Student Bodies.
I did, yes.
Now, this is remarkable to me because I remember when I turned on the TV once and he's a TV weatherman at a different station. And I saw him and I said, I know that guy. That guy was on Student Bodies. And I looked it up, and sure enough, he's now a TV weatherman, and you worked with him. How weird was that?
It was so weird. He probably won't remember me.
Were you fangirling?
Yeah, I love it. I would, for the first year I worked there, I was like, I wouldn't even do eye contact.
He was Chris Shepherd on Student Bodies.
So I said hi to him in the halls, and I was like, I'm saying hi to, like, Chris Shepherd, you know? So ridiculous. It's such a Canadian thing to be fangirling about. But I mean, he won't remember me. If he was to hear this on the radio, he'd be like, who is that chick? But it was really cool. And at the time that I was there, they did a Student Bodies reunion at ET Canada.
I tell you,
it was
Canadian content has never been so good.
It was
produced in Montreal, you know, 1997 to 1999. We got to go. We're late for the news. Here it is.